It is about making the strategic decisions about what is it that we're going to implement. How can we make sure that the exclusion of women in the economy is something that we do all together, stepping it up together with governments, with private sector, with communities? What can we do in order to make sure that we reduce early pregnancies in girls? What is the role of traditional chiefs, of men and boys? Because pregnancy is not just about the girls. When a girl is pregnant, the boy and the girl are pregnant. Stepping it up is coming out of the business as usual and making sure that the gaps that we've identified in our evaluation of the way we've worked in the last 20 years are being addressed. And that is why we're calling on men and boys to be part of the solution. That is stepping it up.
Is that also what you mean by Planet 50-50?
We would want to make sure that creating lasting change is about ensuring that we try even harder to ensure that girls stay at school much longer, that we use technology much better for the education of girls. We know that a lot of women and girls end up never fulfilling their dreams, their potential, because of just the burden of motherhood or the burden of being a girl, where a lot of the chores and the unpaid care work at home is done by the little girl and their mothers, and they miss out on some developmental activities. Now, in moving ahead to Planet 50-50, we want to change that trajectory, but also employers, governments, who also pay women and remunerate women differently, because they assume that when you are a mother, you will not contribute like men, that maternity leave is a problem. Maternity is not a problem, it's a service to the nations. This is a job that someone else would have to do. So calculate that in the GDP. This is what the Sustainable Development Goals have asked us to do. Once we remove these prejudices, we will then change the life for the next generation of women and girls.
There's still a lot of violence against women around the world. What we've seen with Boko Haram and the girls, honor killings. What do you think needs to be done? When you say step it up, what can be done to end this?
Leaders of nations need to have zero tolerance towards violence against women. In a lot of countries where even legislation exists, you find that violence against women continues because there's a problem of access to justice. Perpetrators get away with their crimes, and therefore impunity thrives. And this is in part because it is tolerated. It is tolerated by those who are supposed to enforce the law, by those who are supposed to lead, who are elected, and therefore have a responsibility to protect the nations. So at UN Women, we are delegating this issue upwards. We are saying the issue of protecting girls and women from violence is a responsibility of heads of state, not just of women for gender, because they may not have the clout to tell the police force of their country what to do. The person with the biggest power who has the authority is a head of state. So we have convened last year heads of states to have this discussion with them. And guess what? The issue of violence against women was one issue that they, most of them, pointed out as the biggest issue. So we are now urging them to then provide the necessary responses to prevent violence against women in their countries by ensuring that the laws that they already have are implemented so that you can deter offenders and perpetrators. But in countries where the laws are either weak or non-existent, which is getting fewer and fewer, we are then supporting them to make sure that they put the legislative framework in place.
What about non-state actors? How can this message reach them?
This is much more difficult for us as the UN, certainly for UN Women, because these are people with whom we do not have a structured way to interact. But this is also where communities are important, because non-state actors exist within communities. So our outreach on fighting gender equality has got to be rooted in the lives of communities who must be the ones that will provide both intelligence and deterrent and reduce, for instance, the radicalization of young people who become offenders and extremists who perpetuate extreme violence against women. We also expect, again, that non-state actors are a responsibility of all kinds of interventions that we have in society, from those that have to do with security and those that have to do with social interventions. So we see a role and a need for a much broader contingency of stakeholders that are supposed to address the issue of non-state actors. It is very difficult, very distressing. I don't want to pretend that that is an easy one. And the targeting, for instance, of women human rights defenders comes from both state and non-state actors in most countries where we have seen this problem. 2 days ago, we lost a woman in Honduras who has been killed, a woman who's a social entrepreneur and an activist and a human rights actor, killed by, well, we don't know whether it's a state or non-state actors, but this also shows how vulnerable women are in our communities.